भुञ्जनेवं सदात्मानं योगी विगतकल्मषः सुखेन ब्रह्म संस्पर्शम् अत्यन्तं सुखमश्नुते। So here Krishna is now progressively describing higher and higher stages of yogic perfection. So yunjan evam sadatmanam, the same phrase has come earlier in 6.15a, yunjan evam sadatmanam. The remaining three lines are different over there. There it was yogi niyatamanasaha. By thus practicing yunjan evam sadatmanam, by study practice, there it was said that yogi niyatamanasaha, yogi controls the mind. Here it is said yogi vigata kalmashaha, yogi becomes freed from all contaminations. Now it is contamination that causes agitation. The consciousness in its natural state is calm and composed, but when the consciousness goes into an contaminated state, when the consciousness becomes agitated, so to the extent we can keep our consciousness in a pure state, or we can purify our consciousness, to that extent we will be able to experience higher happiness, as is mentioned in the next part. Sukhena brahma samsparsham. Sukhena brahma samsparsham. Brahma samsparsha is contact with Brahman, contact with higher spiritual reality. Atyantam sukham ashnute. It is mentioned by this contact, what does it do? It brings atyantam sukha. It brings the highest happiness. So, the contrast here comes out between the conditioned stage where the soul seeks samsparsha ja bhoga. The soul seeks the happiness of sense gratification. And in contrast with that is brahma samsparsha. So, samsparsha. Sparsha. It can be used either for touch, as it is done often in vernaculars, in the vernacular languages in India, or it can refer to more generically to the generically to contact. So touch is one kind of contact, smell is another kind of contact, taste is another kind of contact. So, sukhena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukhamashnute. All of us in this world are seeking for happiness. And depending on our conception is shaped the direction of our quest for happiness. So, for a child, the conception is largely of, say, playing. In a child, the sexual senses are not developed and the sexual sense is also not developed. The sexual senses, yes, in a male and female, even child, yes, there are certain bodily organs that are different. But those senses have not yet started functioning as sexual organs. They primarily are functioning as only excretory organs. So, the sexual senses are not developed for doing any sexual function. And similarly, that the sexual sense is also not developed. Sexual sense means the awareness, oh, that this is a female and this is I'm a boy or I'm a girl, and that is the person of the opposite sex, and that person is of sexual interest to me, or I am of sexual interest to that person. That all this is a sexual sense. So neither the sexual senses nor the sexual sense is developed in the child. And it's for a child, the direction of the for the quest of happiness is based largely on its conceptions of playing. So, for example, if the child is grown up in a culture where children play cricket, then the child will play cricket. If the child has grown up in a culture where children all go out and fish, then the child will go out and fish with others. And if the child has come up in a family of, say, hunters or people who are quite brutal, then beating animals, killing animals is what the child sees others doing, and the child may delight in that also. So the point is, our conceptions, which are often determined by our culture, our upbringing, our surroundings, our conceptions determine the direction of our quest for happiness. So that same child may play in the childhood, and as the child grows up, then the child's conceptions may change, and they think that, okay, now my sense of happiness comes if I come first in my class, if my teacher congratulates me, if my parents congratulate me, if in an award giving ceremony I am felicitated, if my name is announced, oh, then that's where I get happiness. And then, say that child is a female and the child is puberty, then how many heads turn? And how many mouths fall open, and how many people are attracted to me when I enter into a room? That becomes my sense of pleasure. So the point is that, again, we could go on with these kind of examples, but the essential point is that our conceptions of pleasure, our conceptions of life, our conceptions of the purpose of life, our conceptions of what is enjoyable, determine where our search for pleasure goes. So accordingly, for most people, during most of their lives, samsparsha jab hoga, their conceptions of pleasure are centered largely on samsparsha, largely on contact of the senses with the sense objects. And with such a conception of pleasure, samsparsha jab hoga, when they have, then they are so captivated by the idea that the contact of senses and sense objects will lead to pleasure, that even if this idea is falsified somehow by experience, then there is some pleasure when the senses come in contact with sense objects, but that pleasure is flickering. It is, as Prahlad Maharaj says in the Bhagavatam, madhu lavai. It is honey, but it is lavai. It is a small fraction. It definitely does not last anywhere near what is depicted in the movies and the novels and, of course, the fantasies of our own minds. So it turns out to be at best an anticlimax. And yet, despite this disappointment, despite this letdown, the person keeps searching for the same pleasure again because of not knowing anything better. Now, only when the person grows, only when the person grows spiritually, through spiritual wisdom, through spiritual realization, through spiritual purification, then that person starts recognizing that there is a higher happiness. And the person starts seeking higher happiness. So now, the purer we are, the higher is the happiness that we seek. So, for example,
this is brutal, but I mean, this is quite a distasteful frame of analysis, but there are people who are very perverted. Often they delight
by causing pain to others. That is called as sadism. Sadists are those who beat others, whip others, and when they see others crying and trembling and writhing in pain, that gives them some perverse pleasure. So Mrigari was that kind of person who got sadistic pleasure in half killing animals and seeing them writhing and squirming and in agony. So, and there can be sexual sadism also, where more than the sexual pleasure, the person gets pleasure in dominating someone else and making the other person feel pain. So again, the point is that this is at a very low level. This is not even sexual pleasure. This is actually sadistic pleasure. It's tamasic. It's in the mode of ignorance. Then as one's impurity, if the impurities are not so deep, then there is sexual pleasure, which is largely romantic. It's mostly in the mode of passion, where the two partners fancy themselves in love with each other, and then they seek pleasure. And that is in passion. In general, when a person comes to goodness, then there is love of ideas. Love of ideas means that it may be in art, it may be in music, it may be in science, it may be in business, it may even be in politics, in terms of some political school of thought. But a person gets an idea, and then the person becomes ready to live and die for that idea. Now that idea in and of itself may not have anything spiritual to it, but a person is attracted to that idea and thinks that, oh, that this idea is what in writing about this idea, speaking about this idea, in sharing this idea, in implementing this idea, I will give myself up to this idea. So in this idea, there can be values like freedom, equality, and such things. So this is sattvic. So then that person's quest for happiness is directed accordingly. And beyond this is transcendence, where the person understands that actually, ultimately what I'm looking for is eternal love. And I am eternal. And I want love, but the love of this world is temporary. The love of this world is not going to satisfy me. If I am to be satisfied, what I need is undying love. And that undying love will be found only in relationship with God. And therefore, the person starts doing Brahma Jigyasa, and then goes beyond Brahma Jigyasa to understand being Brahman in the highest platform as Bhagavan, and in falling in love with Bhagavan. And that Bhagavat Prem, that Krishna Prem, brings about the highest level of Brahma Samsparsha. So the contact with Brahman can happen with the conception of Brahman as Brahma Jyoti, with the conception of Brahman as Paramatma, or with the conception of Brahman as Bhagavan. So in this chapter's flow of thought itself, Krishna will talk in 6.47 how the highest yogis are those who meditate on Krishna. In 6.47, Yoginam api sarvesha madgate antaratmana. Krishna says, madgate antaratmana. Within themselves, they think of me. So, Krishna describes in this verse that the progression of yoga is meant to give us higher happiness. And that higher happiness, if we are impure, we cannot relish higher happiness. The extent we become pure, to that extent we can relish more and more elevated forms of happiness. And that as we become more and more spiritualized in our consciousness, then we can relish higher and higher spiritual happiness. And sukhena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukham ashnute. When there is contact with Brahma, in the pure consciousness, then there is atyantam sukha. There is eternal happiness, the ultimate happiness, the supreme happiness, because Krishna is the reservoir of unlimited happiness, and contact with Krishna through love opens the doors of the heart of the lover for the flood of love of God to inundate the heart and to take the heart to ecstasy and to give that heart the potency to have Krishna manifest through his surroundings and to enable others also to experience similar ecstasy. So in this way, Krishna is, in this verse, telling us about yogic perfection, and is also indicating to Arjuna how he should ultimately aim for this authentic sukha, this ultimate happiness, by the determined practice of yoga. Thank you.